For decades, the northern Iraqi city of Kirkuk was the target of an Iraqi government policy of ethnic cleansing. Saddam Hussein's regime forced tens of thousands of ethnic Kurds and Turkmen from this oil-rich region and replaced them with Arab settlers. With the former regime gone, the Kurds are demanding their lands back. U.S. commanders warn the territorial dispute could escalate in this ethnically charged region. NPR's Ivan Watson traveled to Kirkuk and filed this report.
This is Kirkuk's newest residential neighborhood, a sprawling military compound that's been gutted by U.S. airstrikes and subsequent waves of looters. Since the U.S. invasion, this former headquarters for the 1st Division of the Iraqi Army has become home to thousands of Kurdish squatters. Hamid Amin and his family have set up in a bombed-out barracks still decorated with patriotic Iraqi slogans. His wife does household chores under a sign that says, "We are all loyal soldiers defending the great Iraq." Cruel irony, since Amin was forced to flee his village outside Kirkuk after the Iraqi army bulldozed his house and farm there.
I would like to go back to that village, but I cannot afford to build a house there, and there isn't any electricity, there isn't any water there, so it's better to be here.
The other Kurdish residents of the camp tell similar stories. Most were too poor to own property in the area before they were deported. But those who did own land and homes have returned since the war to find their property occupied by new owners. The U.S. military estimates there are now at least 200,000 cases of property disputes in Kirkuk province, cases involving people like this Kurdish woman named Sabriya. She says the Ba'athist regime confiscated three of her houses and a plot of land in 1973. Since Kurdish militias stormed into Kirkuk alongside U.S. special forces last April, the Arab owners of the houses have either fled or been forced by Kurdish gunmen to give up the property. The final piece of land Sabriya claims to own, however, is still in another person's hands, largely because that new owner is another ethnic Kurd.
I went
to the American, but they told me that I should wait till the new government should be established.
The local American authorities say they've taken what they call a wait-and-hold approach to the property disputes. They're waiting until the U.S. administration in Baghdad establishes a national policy on resettlement issues, and that's not due until at least next February. Kurdish leaders want all of the Kirkuk region to be a part of the territory under their control in a future Iraqi federation.
Kirkuk is an integral part of Kurdistan, historically, geographically, and demographically.
Barham Saleh, a top official in one of the two most powerful Kurdish factions, says the Arabs who settled in Kirkuk over the last 30 years should go back to their original homes.
We should help them to go back to where they came from. We should treat them as victims and try and compensate them for the losses that they have incurred as a result of this policy.
But many of the Arabs don't want to leave. Hassan Hamza is an Iraqi Shiite who was born in Kirkuk in 1973 after the government evicted his family from the southern town of Diwaniya.
Why we are almost should we go? We are born here and we married here and we have other things here.
Colonel William Mayville, the military governor of Kirkuk, says he doesn't have the money or the means to resolve these disputes on his own. He's urging the U.S. administration in Baghdad to seriously address the Kirkuk problem before it's too late.
These issues of resettlement could be something that unravels the process of building a constitution. The fundamental issues right here are unanswered questions, historical questions that came with the fall of the Ottoman Empire, and issues of ethnic identity and boundaries. And what we're seeing here is the scramble for Kirkuk. And if we're not careful, I think that that scramble for Kirkuk, the second and third order effects, could spill over into other areas.
Ivan Watson, NPR News.